On Dalet Omar Aleph, fourth line. We talked about yesterday different kinds of rain and things that happen after the rain and what they accomplish for different kinds of crops. In that connection, we mentioned about Urfila, a very light rain, a drizzle or mist, that it helps even a seed that's very deep underground, it helps it grow. And then Rava pointed out that a tsuva merabanan, a young Talmid Chacham who's beginning to grow and develop, is the same way. Yeah, Rashi described that tsuva merabanan means bochur chorif, a sharp young Talmid Chacham. When he's old, Rashi says he wouldn't be called tsuva, he'd be called ahu merabanan. So once he starts growing, then he'll continue growing just like that seed underground. So now in that connection, since we mentioned something about the development of a Talmid Chacham, so now the Gemara digresses to talk more about that. But Omar Rava, Hai Tzuvah Merabonan de Rosach, when a young Talmid Chacham gets angry, a Raisehu de Komaratchala, you should know it's the Torah within him that's making him get angry. Meaning, Rashi says, the fact that he learned a lot of Torah makes him, it gives him a broader understanding of how the world works. So now, therefore, he takes things more to heart than most people do. So now, when he'll get angry when he sees people are not acting the way they should. The point is, Rashi says, in other words, have a big danim lakaf schus. Don't think this is an angry young man or something. Realize that this is because he learned Torah, and that gives him a different perspective on things. So Rashi explains that whenever it says Tzuvah Merabanan, it means a young Talmid Chacham. It's true, not all the Mefarshim agree to that. There are other explanations, and in fact, I think there is, in fact, there's a Tshuva from the Mahari Bruna, where he says that on the contrary, Tzuvah Merabanan may mean a strong Talmid Chacham, like one who's already fairly mature. But Rashi at least explains that Tzuvah Merabanan always means young. Was described as a Tzuvah Merabanan? Right, right. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
How can you say that the Torah makes you angry? And if he's angry, it's not from the Torah.
No. So the point is, in other words, that's what we're going to say in a minute, that a person has to learn a certain calmness and not to allow himself to get angry. But nevertheless, the point is, it can happen because the Torah within him. In fact, Maharsha says the vote is. Torah itself is like fire, so therefore, like it heats up his whole, body, and it gives him a different perspective on things. So the point is to be danim lakaschus. We're not saying he should be angry, but we're saying if he does, then it's something that you can expect, and something that you should understand why he is.
So we say every day.
And we're going to say that a Talmid Chacham does have to learn to be calm, but the fact is that it can bring him, this fire of Torah can bring him to this state of things. And Shenemar, as the Pasuk says, Haloi Koi Dvori Koish Nu Hashem. Hashem says, aren't my words like fire? So it heats up his entire body and makes him that he can't tolerate when people are acting wrongly. In this connection,
that's Hashem. That's not us. We cannot compare ourselves to the Eibishter.
Person learns the Torah, and therefore it becomes his Torah. So yes, there is a comparison there. V'amar Rav Ashi, and Rav Ashi continues in this connection, kol Talmid Chacham she'enei kosher kabarzel, a Talmid Chacham who is not as strong and hard as iron, which Rashi says means kapdonim v'koshim kabarzel. They're machbid on anything that affects the honor of the Torah, and they're hard and unyielding like iron. So any Talmid Chacham who is not like that, Eino Talmid Chacham is not a Talmid Chacham. Rabbeinu Gershom says it a little differently. He says she'ene kosher l'ratzes, that you have like this. You have in Pirkei Avos where it talks about the different kinds of midos that a person might have. One of them is kosher l'ratzes, where once he becomes angry, it's very difficult to appease him. So we're saying over here, Rav Ashi is saying that a Talmid Chacham has to be that way. So I'll explain in a second something that Rav Moshe says on this in one of his Trovas. But anyway, this goes with, so we're saying that he can get angered by when people are doing wrong. And we're saying he has to be, according to Rabbeinu Gershom, he has to be then unyielding as far as that he's not going to be, that he's not going to be noyach lutzos, he's not going to be that easy to be appeased. And if he is, he's not a Talmid Chacham, shenema, because that same pasuk continues, uchafati shifotet salah, like the hammer that shatters the rock, So we see, therefore, that the Talmud Chacham has to be like the iron hammer. Amalei Rav Abba l'Rav Ashi. So Rav Abba says to Rav Ashi, after Mehosim Asnisula, you should know, you Chachamim in Babel learn it from that pasuk, or Chafatish Yifotzit Salah. And then we in Eretz Yisrael, which is where Rav Abba is from, Mehocham Asninim, we learn it rather from a different pasuk. Dichtiv Eretz Asher Avoneha Barzel. The pasuk describes Eretz Yisrael as a land whose stones are iron. Now, what do you mean? If they're iron, Marsha says, then they're not stones. The definition of a stone is that it's made out of dirt, out of silica or whatever. So Al Tikri Avoneha Ela Boineha. So don't read Avoneha. It's stones, but Boineha, it's builders. Tamar Chacham are the ones who build the world. As in fact we say, so therefore they have to be like barzel, they have to be like iron. Amar Ravina, Ravina says, all of that is true, but with all that said, a person is obligated, including a Talmud Chacham, to teach himself to be calm and not to have to get angry and not to have to be unyielding like that. As the pasuk says, remove anger from your heart. Now, so various Mephoshim explain over here, in other words, that we're saying, we're not talking about that a Talmud Chacham should be angry all the time. After all, yeah, Talmud Chacham, Marim, Shalom, Ba'olam, etc. But the point is, a Talmud Chacham has to have this Midah available to him to use in the appropriate times, when he sees that there's no way to accomplish what he needs to without using anger and without being unyielding. He needs to be ready to use that. We're actually going to have later on in our Masechta the expression that, on the other hand, a person should not be kosher ke'erez. He shouldn't be hard and unyielding like a cedar. He should be rach kekone, gentle and pliable like the reed. But on the other hand, we're saying there's different things. There can be when it refers to his own covered versus the covered of the Torah, which granted, you know, it takes a Talmud Chacham to be able to distinguish between those two. You have all the time, you know, people will get angry over something or other and claim that it's because of covered Torah when really it's because of their own personal covered. That's a whole different matter. For that a person needs to learn Chassidus or Musa, for those who aren't as Shayach Chassidus, you know, in order to really uncover what their real motivations are, but that's a whole nother matter. It's not necessarily for us. It's true, and as a matter of fact, in halacha, actually, there are various places where we talk about where a Talmud Chacham has certain dinim different than the general populace. For many purposes in halacha, we actually say we don't have that caliber of Talmud Chacham nowadays. So not necessarily are these statements that we're saying over here in the Gemara applicable to the average Talmud Chacham nowadays. Yeah, whatever. But there is, in fact, a tshuva from Moshe where he wrote, where one of his Talmudim asked him about this, that Rabbeinu Gershom is saying that the person is supposed to be she'ena kosher l'ratzis. So he asked, what about it says in Pirkei Avos that kosher l'ratzis, kosher l'ratzis is not such a good thing? And the answer is, Moshe explained to him, it means like this. Let's say, for example, the Talmud Chacham has given a psak halacha. Now he sees that somebody is violating it. So now, what should he do? So if he now, one way of approaching that would be that he's angry at that person, that he shows publicly his displeasure with that person for violating it. Now, if he's noyach l'ratzis, if the other person comes and asks mechila and the Talmud Chacham easily forgives him, the problem is that's going to mislead everybody else into thinking, you know what, the Talmud Chacham himself is not really that sure of his psak din. He doesn't want to say flat out, I made a mistake. So therefore, like, he's sort of making up for it by forgiving the guy easily. And then that's going to result in people are going to think it's not a true psak halacha. So therefore, you have to be oymed al daite firmly that, no, it's not so easy to forgive the fact that the person disobeyed that halacha, and that way people will realize. On the other hand, Ravina is saying the fact is better if you can approach it to begin with, not in a way where you have to get angry at the guy and then we have to talk about noyach lirtos. If you have a way better of accomplishing the same thing without anger, then yeah, you have to train yourself to do that so you don't have that issue of not having to be noyach lirtos in the first place. So in other words, this is all part of the toolkit of the Talmud Chacham. We're saying, in other words. Yeah. Okay. All right. Onward. So in other words, again, we're not saying that a Talmud Chacham should be angry. We're saying that when a Talmud Chacham is angry, be danim lakaf schus and realize that he judged under the circumstances that this is what is necessary. Nevertheless, Ravina is saying for the Talmud Chacham himself, better that he shouldn't have to use that particular item in his toolkit. There's a story in Sipur Chassidim in that connection involving some Rebbe, I don't remember which one, where he has a Din Torah in front of him or something like that. He needs to get angry at one of them because he's not following the Psak Din or some such thing. So like he makes a whole show of going up to a high shelf and taking down a box from there, and he says, you know, I keep my midah of anger in this box. I only take it out when it's absolutely necessary, but you should realize that the consequences, if I have to take it out, are going to be very severe. And that induces the guy to just accept the psak din so that he doesn't have to use that. So this is what we're talking about. Okay. Onward. We mentioned about dew and rain. So therefore, that leads the Gemara into another piece of Agadta, where at the end of it, we're going to have something about dew and rain. There were three people in Tanakh who asked Hashem for something improperly. They asked for something without specifying, without making sure that what they're asking for is going to end up being the right thing. Two of them were answered properly and they got what they actually wanted. And one was answered improperly. Namely, were the Elohim, Eliezer Eved Avraham, the Shol Ben Kish, the Yiftach HaGiladi. So what happened? What's Eliezer Eved Avraham? Dichtiv, you have, he says in Chayesara, V'hoya Nara Sha'oimah Alaya Hati Nakadech V'gamer, I'm standing here by the well, the girl who I asked to take down her jug off her shoulder or lean her jug over whatever, and I'll take a drink, she's the one that Hashem determined is going to be Yitzchak's wife. Now, how could he do that? It almost sounds like he's saying whichever girl comes out first, he's going to ask her. What happens? Yochal afilu chigeres afilu suma. What if she's lame? What if she's blind? So she's going to be a balas mum. So nevertheless, hashivuhu kahoygan. Nevertheless, he was answered properly. Vinizdam deloy Rivka, and Rivka came who didn't have any mum. Now, why are we mentioning only chigeres and suma? Rashi points out this is before the Torah was given. Tosfos brings from Rashi that this is before the Torah was given. If she's a mamzeres, as we're going to have in the next one with Shol, it doesn't really matter. It's before the Torah is given. There's no such thing really as a mamzeres. So we're only concerned about physical defects. Although Tosfos says, I mean, so what? If he sees she has a physical defect, he just won't go over to her. What's the problem? The problem is, Tosfos says, what if, for example, she has a wooden leg? Or what if she has a glass eye? He won't notice it, but nevertheless, the fact is she has one. So then still, Hashem answered him properly and gave him the right one and sent him Rivka, who did not have any such problems. Next, Shol ben Kish, Dichtiv, the Pasuk describes when Goliath is insulting the Jewish people and saying, you can't find anybody who will beat me, etc., etc. So the Pasuk says, V'hoya ha'isha she'yakenu, Shol had made an announcement, whoever kills this giant Goliath, Yashrenu ha'melech osher gadol, the king will give him great riches, that's bito yitin lo, and he'll give him his daughter as a wife. Now, Yochal afilo Now that's very careless of Shol. What if the guy who defeats Goliath ends up being an Eved or a Mamzer who's not allowed to marry his daughter? And the implication, okay, so you could say, Marashah says in that case, fine, so he won't marry her off to him. But nevertheless, the fact that he just says Yitin Loy Vesbita Yitin Loy, it sounds like regardless, at least he should have specified, at least he should have said Vahoya Ha'adam HaKosher or something to that effect. That kills Goliath. So like this, it was careless of him. Yet Hashivay Kahogan, Hashem answered him properly. Then his damon like David, and David wound up coming, who was of kosher yichus and was not an eved or a mamzer. Now, on the other hand, so those are the two who got answered appropriately, even though their request was not appropriate. Now, who's the one who didn't get answered appropriately? Yiftach HaGiladi. Dichtiv. You have when he's going to fight against against Ammon. So he makes a promise, he makes a neder. Whatever comes out first from the door of my house when I get home from fighting Ammon is I'm going to bring it. I'll bring it as a korban oila. Now again, that's a very careless statement. What happens if the first thing that comes out of the door is a davar tameh? And Marsha points out, in a way, a davar tameh can include a person as well, that's in fact what happened. Hashiva shaloi kahogan, Hashem did not answer him in an appropriate way, nizdam b'loi bitoi, and his daughter came out first. Now, you do have, there is a huge machlokas among the mefoshim on the pasuk. The Gemara over here was going to take it. It seems that he actually brought her literally as a korban oila, as a human sacrifice. There are a number of the mefoshim on the pasuk that say that no, even Yiftach, as much of an amoretz as he was, he knew you don't do such things. What it means is like he had her living almost like a nun, like she's secluded, she's not allowed to get married, she's not allowed to be with anybody, etc., etc. But still, it's not something you do to a Jewish girl. So he ended up with that. Now, why Taka? Why? What Mephoshim talk about? So, what does Hashem play favorites? Why did Eliezer and Shaul get a good response and Yiftach not? So, there's a few reasons. One of them being because Yiftach is making a neder, and it's very careless of him to make a neder in that way. The other ones is more in a way of a tefillah to Hashem. Now, Eliezer, we certainly see he's davening to Hashem. Shaul is also davening to Hashem that he should send the appropriate person to fight Goliath, whereas Yiftach is making a neder that he's going to bring something to Hashem as a korban. It's very careless of him. It shows a lack of kavod for the Eidishter to just say generically anything that comes out rather than specifying any davar tahor. He's like rewarding somebody, but still, it's a form of tefillah, and more to the point, it doesn't involve so much the kavod of Hashem because he's not promising to bring a korban. So Yiftach got what he got. Rashi and Tosfos both mention there's another story in Nach where you see that somebody promises his daughter as a reward for somebody who accomplishes something. It says both in Yoshua, in Sefer Yoshua and Shoftim, that there was a city called Kiryas Sefer, also called Dvir, which they couldn't conquer. And Kolev announces, whoever conquers Kiryas Sefer will be able to marry my daughter Achsa. So why aren't we mentioning that over here? On the face of it, also, whoever does that could also be an Eved or a Mamzer or what have you. So Rashi and Tosfos both explain that the vort is, the Gemara explains in Tmura, that Kiryas Sefer actually represents several hundred halachas that had been forgotten during the Avelos after Moshe passed away. So Kolev knows that anybody who's going to be able to accomplish that, to restore those halachas, is going to need Ruach HaKodesh to help with that. And therefore, necessarily, he's not going to be an Eved or a Mamzer. Tosfos also says, because the very fact she was called Achsa is because Tosfos explains that it has to do with, she was tremendously tzniastic. So he realized that between his own schus and her schus, Kolev plus Achsa's combined schus is going to be enough that there's not going to be an Eved or a Mamzer taking on this task in the first place. Therefore, it's not considered that he asked Shalai Kahogan, because to begin with, what he was asking was, Osnir ben Knaz captured the city and restored the halachas, and he's the one who married her. Yeah, Osnir ben Knaz was actually Kolev's own half brother. They had the same mother but different fathers, which is why he's called Kolev ben Yefuneh HaKnizi, because he was raised by Knaz, who is the father of Osnir. Anyway, that's another answer. Actually, is why Hashem answered Shaul and Eliezer properly and not Yiftach, is because with them we're dealing with shiduchim. So therefore, Shiduchim is more Min Hashemayim, who's going to marry who. So therefore, the Eidishter ended up answering with the proper Shiduch, whereas Yiftach is not a matter of a Shiduch. Anyway, now, so what happened? So again, the Gemara is taking it that Yiftach actually literally sacrificed his daughter. So the Gemara says on that, Behainu deka'omu lehu Navi Yisrael, this explains what a Navi said many years later to the Jewish people, Hatsari ein begilad, is there no balsam in Gilad, which they used to use balsam in those days as a medicine, im roife ein sham, is there no doctor over there, and the Pasuk continues, the Gemara doesn't quote the second half of the Pasuk, but the second half of the Pasuk continues, ki madua lai osa aruchas basami, why is there no healing that's worked for the daughter of my people? So in the simple sense, the Pasuk is talking about that the Navi is baklogging zich. Look, there was a churban, there was a golos. Was there nobody who could have healed their wound of Averis and helped them do tshuva that there had to be such a disaster? But the Gemara is darshaning, in other words, that this refers to the fact that, again, he mentions Gilad specifically, ties it with the story of Yiftach HaGiladi. So the Navi is saying, was there no balsam? Was there no doctor that could heal the daughter of my people, meaning the problem with Yiftach's daughter, to be Matu Neder? In other words, how is it that nobody came? How is it that nobody was Matu Neder? And in fact, Tosfos brings from a Medrash that what happened was Yiftach didn't want to go be Matu Neder because he was very proud of himself. He thought to himself, listen, I'm the shofet of the Jewish people. If I need to be Matu Neder, let the Dayan, let the Rav come to me. Meanwhile, Pinchas, who was the leading chacham of that time, figured that was Pinchas, the actual Pinchas, ben Elazar ben Aaron HaKohen. He figured, I'm a Navi, I'm the leader of the Jewish people, Baruch Nius. If Yiftach needs me, let him come to me. So between the two of them, then she ended up getting lost, and both of them got their punishments. Yiftach got punished that before he passed away, he suffered from some kind of disease where various limbs fell off his body, which is why the Pasuk says on him, Vayikoveh ba'orei Gilad, he was buried in the cities of Gilad. How many cities do you bury a person in? The point is, as each piece fell off, they buried it in a different place. Pinchas, meanwhile, lost his Ruach HaKodesh. The Pasuk says on him, in Divrei Hayamim, Lefanim Hashem Imay, formerly Hashem was with him, implying that at some later time, Hashem was not with him because he lost his Ruach HaKodesh. So it could also go with the explanation that she was locked up, indeed. But the Gemara is taking it, as we're going to see now, that we're talking about that it was an actual human sacrifice. So Uchtib, so the Pasuk also says, Yirmiyahu also says in one of his nevuos, so at one point Hashem told them to go to the area near Yerushalayim where they were doing child sacrifices, and Hashem told them to say a very sharp nevuah against the Yidin, that they're doing such a terrible thing. And he says, Asher letzivisi, Hashem says, you should know, I never commanded it. V'loi dibarti, I never spoke it. V'loi osa al libi, and it never entered my heart that anybody should do any such thing. So ha'itochen that you're doing that. So why does Hashem use this triple expression? So the three times in Tanakh where we find cases of human sacrifice. Asher letzivisi, zebnoi shal mesha melech moyav. This refers to the story involving the son of Mesha, the king of Moab. So the Pasuk describes in Melachim, there was a war going on. The kings of Yisrael and Yehuda and the king of Edom, who really was a governor appointed by the king of Yehuda, whatever, the three of them and their armies were fighting against Moab. Mesha Melech Moab decided the situation is desperate. And Shenema, the Pasuk says, Vayikach b'noya b'chor asher yimlech tachtov. He took his eldest son who would have ruled instead of him, in other words, the crown prince, Vayaleu Ola, and he brought him as a korban Ola. So in fact, the Gemara in Sanhedrin explains, there's Machlokas Rav and Shmuel over there, was he doing it what he thought was in honor of Hashem, or was he doing it in honor of his Avodah Zarah? The Medrash gives more detail about it, that what happened was when the Jewish people are winning this war, are doing so well in this war, and Nisim happened during the war, etc. So Mesha asks his advisors, what happened? How do these Jewish people have this tremendous schus that they're having such things happen for them? And his advisors tell him, because their ancestor Abraham was ready to bring his son Yitzchak as a korban. So Mesha says to himself, if Hashem likes that kind of thing, I'll do the same thing. And he did that. And in fact, it created tremendous kitrug against the Jewish people because Taka, some of them were doing what Yirmiyahu was describing over there and bringing their own children as korbanos to Avodah Zarah. So that created a tremendous kitrug min hashamayim against the Jewish people, and they ended up losing the war. The Pasuk just says, Vayisu me'olav, they had to leave him by Yeshuvu la'aretz, and they went back to their land. And the Gemara says in Sanhedrin, they went down to Madrega Tachtona, down to the lowest level. So yeah. So anyway, so the point is, Hashem is saying many years later to Yirmiyahu, you should know, I didn't command Moab, I didn't command Mesha Melech Moab to bring that korban. He did it all on his own. So I don't appreciate such things. Then when Hashem continues, V'loi dibarti, when Hashem says, I didn't speak such a thing, Zeh Yiftach, this refers to Yiftach, I never told him to bring his daughter as a korban. That was all his own idea, and he did wrong by that. And when Hashem says it didn't enter my heart, Zeh Yitzchak ben Avraham, this refers to Yitzchak. Even though Hashem told Avraham to bring him as an Ola, he didn't have in mind that he would shecht him. We know it was only that Hashem tested him, brother Kim Nisas Avraham, because the Satan was Makatrig. So Hashem, and in fact, Hashem told Avraham, when the Rashi mentions on the Pasuk, when Avraham is wondering what's going on, first he told me, Kibi Yitzchak Yikar al-Hazara, then you're telling me, Ba'aleu la'ola, and Hashem explains, I never said shecht him as a korban, I said, Ba'aleu la'ola, you brought him as an ola, now you can take him down, he's become an ola. But in other words, Hashem is stressing through Yirmiyahu that there are three times in Tanakh where we find that people sacrificed or almost sacrificed their children. You should know, I didn't intend that any of them should do any such thing. So how are you talking that you Jewish people are doing such things? Rashi, now how does Asher Tzivisi particularly, Asher Lo Tzivisi, how does that particularly refer to Mesha and Lo Dibarti, particularly to Yiftach? Rashi says, Rashi actually brings from Tanchuma that learns it a little differently. Asher Letzivisi refers to Yiftach. Yiftach is a Yid. He has many mitzvahs. He has 613 mitzvahs. But you should know, Hashem says, this is not one of them. Then Lo Dibarti refers to Mesha. Because Mesha, being a Goy, Hashem is saying, I wouldn't even speak to him b'chlal. So certainly Lloyd de Bouty, I certainly never spoke to him, telling him to sacrifice his son. And like also Libby, again, refers to Yitzchak, that Hashem did tell Abraham, unlike the other two, Hashem did tell him, Ba'alei Ola Ola, but he never intended that he should actually be shechted. So now, so again, so this all ties in. So the point is, this ties in, then again, with what we're saying, that Yiftach asked Hashem to begin with improperly. He should have been more careful in his neder in the first place, and therefore his daughter wound up coming out of the house first, and everything developed from there. So now, so we have three examples then where we said where somebody asked for something improperly. So now the Gemara brings a fourth example. Amar of Berechia, Af Knesset Yisrael Shalosh Like Hagen, Ba'akadosh Baruch Hu Shiva Hagen. Also, the Jewish people asked Hashem for something not proper, and Hashem answered in the proper and an appropriate way. Shenemar, the Pasuk says, the Navi describes how the Jewish people do tshuva. The Neda Nirdefa Ladas Hashem, let's understand and run to learn to know Hashem, to become close to Hashem. Kashacha Nochen Mitzoy, like the dawn which you know for sure is coming forth. In other words, when you see the light of dawn in the sky, you know the sun is going to be rising soon. So the same way, when we see any tiny little bit of Elokus, we should run after it. We know that we're going to find more. We know we're going to find more about the Eidish day. The Yavai Kageshem Lanu, and let him come like rain to us. So they're asking for Elokus to come down for them like rain. But that's Shaloi Kahogan, because Amalah HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because Hashem says, Biti, my daughter, Achel is Dabash upon Misbakish, upon Mani Misbakish. You're asking for rain, which is not always desired. Like we said before, during the summertime, you don't want rain, for example, in Eretz Yisrael. And of course, there can also be a person that's traveling on the road and all kinds of other examples. So not always is rain such a desirable thing. Instead, I'll give you a hashpa, a kiss, like something which is always needed, namely dew. Shenema eya katal liYisrael, the Pasuk says, and later on in Sefer Hosea, I will be like the dew for the Jewish people. And the dew, summer or winter, is always something that's needed and wanted. And sometimes we even said yesterday, the tal shal bracha. So Hashem is promising that. There's the idea, there's a mimer, the mimer hazinu hashemayim, the Kutta Torah, where the Alter Rebbe explains that rain represents the process of tshuva in the sense that you have, the later on, we're going to learn on Daf Yod, where does rain come from? It comes from water vapor that comes up from the earth, the Eid Yalam in Aretz, and forms clouds and rain. So it represents the process of a serusa de la sata evoking in a serusa de la ela, and it also it's cloudy when it rains, representing like we don't see the sky, representing like when a person is in a state where he needs to do tshuva, he doesn't see a lakos so clearly. So the Jewish people are asking that they're asking for a relationship with Hashem like that. And Hashem answers, I'm going to do even better. I'm going to do something. I'm going to give you a relationship like dew, which is completely serusa de la'ela. There's no human involvement at all. Dew always comes. Like we said yesterday, ta'alai mi'atzer, the rain, the dew never ceases. And that means, in other words, I'm going to give you a serusa de la'ela even without your serusa de la'sata. And also the Berechia says he was another people, the Jewish people asked Hashem something that they didn't think through what they were thinking carefully. Hashem, make me like a signet, like a seal on your heart and on your arm. So Hashem says, you're asking that you should be like a seal on my heart and my arm, beaten. So you're asking for something which sometimes is visible and sometimes not. So Rashi says, when a person is fully dressed, you don't see his heart, you don't see the part of his arm, you don't see his upper arm because it's covered with a sleeve. I will do something for you which is always visible. As the pasuk says, Hei na kapayim chakisich. Hashem says in a pasuk, behold, I have engraved you on kapayim. So kapayim, first of all, can mean on my hands. So like a person's hands are always visible. And second of all, it also, Rashi says, the word kapayim also means the clouds. So it refers to the fact that the image of the Jewish people is kavyachal engraved on the kisya covered above the clouds. You have the famous thing that it says that Yaakov Avinu's picture, particularly, is on the kisya covered. So Hashem says that I'm going to make it that my relationship with you is something that's always visible, not like you were asking for something which is not necessarily always visible. Marsha explains something along the idea of when the Jewish people are asking, to be like a seal to Hashem. Now, when you consider a seal, there's different kinds. Whenever you stamp something with a seal, it comes out the reverse of what you put originally. Whatever image you have on the seal, it comes out reversed when you put it on the paper. In many places in Chassidus, it talks about that idea. Choysim ha-mishapech. You have things where you have one thing is higher than the other in the Olam HaSel Yonim, but then when it comes down here on earth, it gets reversed and comes the other way around. So Hashem says, I'm going to make it the kind of seal which is never reversible, which is always what you see is what you get, rather than you're asking for something where you're going to have, sometimes it's going to be one way and sometimes it's going to be the other way. Well, like the Luchas, and also he says, like, for example, the word tal itself backwards is lot, which means a curse. So Hashem is saying, so instead of you want it to be like a chosem, where sometimes it can be, you can have the forward and you can have the reverse, I'm going to make heinach hapayim chakesich, where there's no forward and reverse, there's just what you see is what you get in terms of ashkah milamayla. So when we put on tefillin, in fact, we do. The Alter Rebbe talks about it at great length in the Siddurim Dach, about how tefillin is represented by the simeni kachosim al libecha, kachosim al zreecha. That you have exactly that. You have the choysim ha-mishapech. We do something milamata, and it evokes an effect milamayla, etc. Okay. Next, we said in the Mishnah, ein shoylan esag shomim kula. We said after we discussed when you start saying masha v'ruach moda geshem, the Mishnah had continued ein shoylan.
Who says that you ask? Who's the one that asks me the question?
So for Pashas, it's the Jewish people collectively, the Knesset Yisrael, that's what we said before. The Jewish people collectively.
What was that?
No, it doesn't mean. So in Shailan Asak Shabbat, we said in the Mishnah that when it comes to asking for rain, we only do that Somach L'Gshamim, close to the time of the rainfall. So Savrua, now we think, for purposes of the next discussion, She'elah Ba'azkara Choda Milsehi, that when the Mishnah is mentioning over here Shoylim, it means the same as Maskirin from earlier in the Mishnah. Namely, we're talking about when we start saying Masha V'Ruach Moda Geshem, not when we start saying the same Talamata. Now, later on, we're going to explain that it's not so. There's two different things. But right now, we're assuming that they're the same thing, or at least it means that they take place at the same time. In which case, Mantana, then who would be the... And one reason to think that is because the Mishnah had been talking about when Maskirin Gurus Geshamim. Then you have in the continuation of the Mishnah, where Rabbi Yehuda talks about what takes place on Shmini Atzeres, about the first and the second Chazan, Maskirin and not Maskirin. So the Gemara is assuming, why are we sticking all of a sudden something of She'ela, of a Saint Talamata in the middle? It must be that we're still referring to Masha V'Ruach Moda Geshem. So Mantana, so which Tana would be that says that we only start Somoch L'Gshamim and not earlier? Amar Rabbah, Rabbi Yeshua, he d'amar m'shas hanachosay, that would be according to the opinion of Rabbi Yeshua in the Braisa that we learned on Beis Amidbeis, that said that once you put down the lulav, then you start asking. Now, again, we've talked about that Rashi seems to be inconsistent in various places in these blot, where in some places he's saying that means Yom Shvi, and in some places he says Yom Shmini. Here he says Yom Shmini. So one way of understanding it is, maybe in fact, the Girsay and Rashi over here, in fact, should be Yom Shvi. The other possibility we talked about is Rashi may hold that what it means is Rabbi Yeshua is saying you put down the lulav on the seventh, and then you start saying Masha V'Ruach Moda Geshem that night, the night going into Shmini Atzeres, or even that you don't start by night for reasons that we brought from the Yerushalmi, because not everybody is in shul at night, and therefore we wait till Musaf the next day. Another possibility is that Rashi does in fact mean that Rabbi Yeshua and the Braisa would say that you start on the seventh, and in fact, a number of the Meforshim, we said before, Rabbi Gershom and some of the other Meforshim also hold that way, that Rabbi Yeshua in the Braisa says that you begin on the seventh on Hashanah Rabbah, unlike in the Mishnah where he said that you begin on Shmini Atzeres. So in other words, we'd have two different opinions of what Rabbi Yeshua holds. So Rabbi Yeshua is saying that you start Mashas HaNachosay. In other words, it can't be according to Rabbi Eliezer. According to Rabbi Eliezer, you're starting to say Masha V'Ruach Moda Geshem at the beginning of Sukkot. That's still far away from the time when you need rain. And in fact, we said, according to Rabbi Eliezer, there's no objection to saying Masha V'Ruach Moda Geshem all year round, because he's saying you're not actually asking Hashem for rain right now. You're only praising Hashem that he brings rain. So our Mishnah then wouldn't work according to Rabbi Eliezer. But Abaya says to Rava, no, afilu tamer Rabbi Yezer. You could even say our Mishnah goes according to Rabbi Yezer, because you could say she'ela l'chud v'askara l'chud. She'ela and askara are two different things. She'ela is the same talamater. Askara is mashav v'ruach moda geshem. Those don't necessarily have to start at the same time. So Rabbi Eliezer might well agree that you only begin saying the same talamater when you're closer to the time when the rain is actually needed, which we're going to talk about later on when that is. Okay, so that's one version of how the discussion went. The Ikadamri, another version of the discussion went, Lema Rabbi Yeshua'i, would we necessarily have to say that our Mishnah is specifically according to Rabbi Yeshua, the Amar Mashas HaNachosai, who says, again, that you only start saying Mashav Ruch Merda Geshem after you put down the lulav, not like Rabbi Eliezer, who says that you say it throughout Sukkos. And that would mean, if we said that, it would mean that we have an example of a stamma, of a machloikas v'achagach stam. We have a machloikas in the Mishnah, Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua, and then we'd have a stam Mishnah only like Rabbi Yeshua. And that would mean the halacha would necessarily be like that. Amar Rabba, but Rabba says not necessarily. Afilu tamer Rabbi Eliezer, she'ela l'chod, v'askara l'chod. Again, she'ela and askara are two different things. Yes, it means that, in other words, the Mishnah hadn't talked about she'ela, now about haskara, about mashav ruach, now digresses to the same talamater, and then it's going to return to Mashav Ruach. But okay, we could say that rather than having to say that this line in the Mishnah is only according to one Tana. As much as possible, we prefer to say that a Stam Mishnah goes according to everybody. Okay. So then we said in the Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda Omer Ha'over Lifnei Ateva. Rabbi Yehuda had said that the Chazan, that when it comes to Shmini Atzeres, the Chazan by Shachris doesn't say Mashav Ruach yet, only the Chazan by Mut. Start saying it, and the first day Pesach, we said it was the other way around. So in other words, Rabbi Yehuda in the Mishnah is saying that you stop saying Mashav Ruach Merda Geshem by Musaf of the first day Pesach, and then you start saying Merda Tol according to On Nusach or nothing according to Nusach Ashkenaz. So Uraminu, the Gemara says, have a contradiction. The next Mishnah, which we'll learn tomorrow, Beis Hashem, says Ad Moshe Sherlin Esach Shomim, up till when do we ask for rain? Rabbi Yehuda Amad Sheyavra Pesach. Rabbi Yehuda says until Pesach is over. Rabbi Meir Imad Sheyavra Nissen. Rabbi Meir says even later until Nissen is over. So we see that. What about
people traveling back from Sukkot, so we don't have to ask for rain right away?
Well, that's.
People are traveling to Pesach.
Okay, but we still need rain there, so we don't stop asking.
The rain is just so important that we don't.
Care. Yeah, I mean, when we're starting to ask for rain, we're going to delay it a couple of weeks until Achron should be Yisrael, as we'll talk about later. Yeah, but yeah, so Rabbi Yehuda is saying that you keep on asking for rain until Pesach is over. Again, the Gemara is assuming that She'ela and Askara should have the same timetable. So therefore, if you're asking for rain until Pesach is over, why would you stop mentioning rain? Why would you stop saying Mashav Ruach at the beginning of Pesach? So Amar Rav Chista LeKasha Kan Lishol Kan LaHazkir. So Rav Chista says the fact is there is a difference. Mishal Shoel V'Ozel, as far as asking for rain, saying the same Talamotar, according to Rabbi Yehuda, you're continuing it throughout the whole Pesach. Lahazkir v'yom tavarishin posik, but as far as haskara, as far as mashav ruach amorid hageshem, that you stop on the first day Pesach. Oma ula, but ula says I don't really like that explanation. Hodir of chistek kasha kachumet v'shinayim v'choshen leinayim. That explanation of Rav Chista is as hard to deal with using a lashon haposik like vinegar for the teeth and like smoke for the eyes. Like a person drinks vinegar, it's not very good for their teeth, especially if they have a toothache. Then not actually, the Gemara mentions elsewhere that vinegar is good to soothe the toothache. But we're talking about, when a person has healthy teeth, vinegar is not so good for them. It puts his teeth on edge, makes shinav, and then like smoke for the eyes. And this is a very difficult explanation to accept. Says Ola, umab makam she'ena shoyel mazgir. Madach, when it comes to a time when you're not yet asking for rain, you're already mentioning, you're already saying Mashav Ruach Merda Geshem. Namely, Rashi says on the last day of Yom Tov, on Shmini Atzeres, you're not davening now. You don't have She'ela there because practically speaking, you don't daven a weekday davening on Shmini Atzeres. So yet Mazkir, yet you're mentioning Mashav Ruach Merda Geshem. B'makom sheshoyel, so then in a time during the rest of Pesach, during Chol Hamoed Pesach, when you're still asking for rain, ain't a din sheyeh mazgir. Wouldn't it be a kal v'chomer that you should still be saying Mashav Ruach Merda Geshem? How can we say that you should stop Mashav Ruach Merda Geshem earlier and continue saying the same talamata? Now Rashi is saying over here specifically about the last day of Yom Tov. Some other Mephoshim explain, we don't need that really. We could say that we're talking about during the time between Shmini Atzeres and when we start the same Talamotar. You have, as we're going to learn later on, in Eretz Yisrael, they begin the same Talamotar Zayin Cheshvan. In Chutz La'aretz, as we're going to learn on Daf Yud, even later. So So you have a considerable amount of time. Right now, for example, we're in a time of year when we're saying Masha Baruch Hamor Degeshem, but not yet the same Talamotu. The reason why Rashi doesn't learn that way is because Rashi himself holds in this sugya, he mentions a couple of times, that according to the opinion we're talking about over here, according to Rabbi Yehuda's opinion, we'd start saying the same Talamotu right after Sukkot. Not waiting till Zayin Cheshvan, etc. No, it's still they wait till Zayin Cheshvan. We're going to talk about that later. But Rashi learns that according to the opinion we're talking about now, you would actually start right after Sukkot is over. Because again, the whole point is you don't want rain during Sukkot, it's a Simen Kola, but as soon as possible after that, you're going to start saying the same Talamotu. Yom Tov itself, you don't, because you don't say Birkas Hashanim anyway. You don't say a weekday Shemini Esrei, so there's no the same Talamotu in there. But as soon as Yom Tov is over, you want to start saying it. So therefore, the only example where Rashi can find where you're saying Hazkara without Sheela is on Shemini Esrei itself. So that's Ola's question then. How could it be that we have a time when we're not saying Masha Baruch Hamor Degeshem anymore and we're still saying the same Talamotu? What's the law? Ela, Omo Ola Tre Tanoya Libid Rabbi Yehuda. So Ola says, rather, we have two different Tanoyim that disagree within what Rabbi Yehuda said. You have Rabbi Yehuda in our Mishnah who says that you stop saying the same Talamotu, that you stop saying Masha Baruch Hamor Degeshem on the first day of Pesach. And then that means that also at that time you stop saying the same Talamotu. So you would continue. So practically speaking, on Yom Tov, you're davening on Yom Tov Shemini Esrei, you wouldn't yet start the same bracha because you don't have a weekday Shemini Esrei to say it in. But the first weekday Shemini Esrei, as soon as Chol HaMoed begins, then you start it. Then you have Rabbi Yehuda in the next Mishnah who says that you continue saying it until the end of Pesach, which would mean that he would say, says Ula, that Rabbi Yehuda would say that you say both until the end of Pesach. By the way, in Shulchan Aruch, it mentions an interesting point. We know that there's a din. If a person is davening on Shabbos or on Yom Tov, and he starts saying a weekday Shemini Esrei, starts saying Atachonin, then he has to finish the bracha that he was in the middle of, and only then start the tefillah of Shabbos or Yom Tov. That applies in Shachris, Mincha, and Ma'ariv. Doesn't apply in Musaf, that's another matter, but in Shachris, Mincha, and Ma'ariv, that's the halacha. So therefore, what happens, for example, the first day Pesach, let's say, a person is davening, let's say, Mincha on the first day Pesach, by which time we're already saying Morud Atol, and he forgets and starts saying a weekday Shemini Esrei by Mincha, and he reaches all the way into Baruch Aleinu and still hasn't realized his mistake yet, he has to say the same bracha in there. Usually we only start the same bracha Chol HaMoed, but that's only because practically speaking, that's the first time you're davening a weekday davening. But here he happens to be davening a weekday tefillah on Yom Tov, and it's already the time to start saying the same bracha. So therefore, he has to say that. And if he says the same Talamotu, then he's going to have to repeat Shemini Esrei or do whatever all the various things that you have to do if you miss it in Baruch Aleinu. Okay, so there's two Tanoim that disagree within what Rabbi Yehuda says. Actually, the Ritzva says, maybe the Gemara could have just as well answered, that you have, before we said what Rabbi Yehuda was saying in our Mishnah about the first day of Pesach was not his own shitta, it was the shitta of his Rebbe, which we said Rabbi Yeshua ben Beseira. So the next one, and the next Mishnah, could be his own independent opinion. So the Gemara didn't have to say two Tanoim who disagree within what Rabbi Yehuda had said. It could have just as well said, Hodi Dei Hodi Rabbe. One is according to him, one is according to his Rebbe. Rabbi Yosef gives a different answer. So far we have Rav Chista distinguishing between She'ela and Azkara, between Masha Baruch and the same Talamotu, and Ula shoots that down and says that's not possible. You can't have a time when you're saying the same Talamotu and not saying Masha Baruch Hamor Degeshem anymore. We have Ula saying that Rav Yehuda, within Rav Yehuda's opinion, you have two different opinions what he held. Rabbi Yosef gives another answer. My Ad Yavra Pesach, what is when Rabbi Yehuda says in the next Mishnah, Ad Yavra Pesach doesn't mean when Pesach is over. It means Ad Yavra Shliach Tzibur Rishin Hayyurid Beyom the Rishin Shal Pesach. It means until and including when the first Chazan was davening Shachris by the Omud on the first day of Pesach, when he leaves the Omud, that is when, that's the last time that we say Masha Baruch Hamor Degeshem. So therefore, it fits with what he's saying in our Mishnah, that the next Chazan who goes up from Musaf is going to start saying Morud Atol. But Abaya says, what are you talking about? The expression in the Mishnah there is that Mosai Shoylan is a Shaman. Till when do we ask for rain? Meaning we're saying the same Talamotu. We don't have that on Yom Tov.
Mentioning,
fine, we have on Yom Tov. But that Mishnah is talking about in Shoylan and Mosai Shoylan is a Shaman. So Shoylan means saying the same Talamotu. You don't have that on Yom Tov because you're not saying Baruch Aleinu. And even if you're going to say, you're talking about, let's say a person is davening a weekday Shemini Esrei, fine, you can have that. A Yochin might daven the entire Shemini Esrei before he realizes his mistake. A Chazin, you're not going to have that. By the time he reaches Baruch Aleinu, everybody will have long since told him to stop and start after B'chatanu. So Omalei says, how do you have She'ela on Yom Tov in the first place? Omalei, so Rabbi Yosef tells him, Ein, Shoyel Maturgamon. Yes, it means that the Maturgamon is going, who's announcing the Rav's Drosha is going to be is going to be asking for rain. In other words, during the drosha that he's darshaning, Rashi says he's going to say Birkas She'ela by itself. He's going to say the bracha of this, he's going to say the bracha and include in it the same talamotar by itself. Rabbi Chananel explains, in other words, that sometime during the drosha, when the maturgamon, in other words, Rabbi Chananel says the maturgamon's job, like this, we learned throughout Shas, that the maturgamon's job is to repeat the drosha over for the tzibur, but it also, he would also be making various public announcements that the tzibur needs. I'll tell you, like you have the gabbai and shul nowadays. So one of them would be that, yes, when they need, when it's still a time when they need rain, he would say some at some point in the middle of the drasha, "Yehi rotzen melpanecha shetitan lanu talamato lebracha," or something to that effect. So the question is, "B'chi maturgaman shoyel davar she'ein etzarach l'tzibur?" Fine, but does the maturgaman ask for something that the tzibur needs? Since it's already the time when we're stopping to say "Masha v'roch amar d'geshem," why would the maturgaman still be saying why like this? In other words, the vote is really. Really, we should be starting to say the same talamot. We should be starting to say murder tol, stopping to say mashav ruach murder geshem already by ma'ariv the night before. The reason we don't, like we said the other day, is because not everybody is in shul at that time. But essentially, it's not the time. Once Pesach begins, is not really the time when we need rain anymore. Why would the maturgamon be making an announcement yiratzim mopanecha that he should give us talamot of livracha when we don't need it anymore? So that doesn't work either. Elam chavarta kidu'ula. So it's clear we have to answer like Ola that there's two different tanoim that disagree within what Rabbi Yehuda holds. When we start, the beginning of Pesach or the end of Pesach?
You can't say that this kind of season comes out earlier or later, so we need to go.
No, the Pashtus not. The Pashtus, once the deadline that the Chum established, then that's that. Yeah, we're going to talk about, by the way, since you mentioned it, we are going to talk about later on, Bez Hashem, on Daf Yud, when we talk about in connection with the time when we start saying the same Talamotar in Chutz La'aretz, what happens if a country needs rain at other times? We'll talk about a whole discussion about that, Bez Hashem. Anyway, we'll also talk about the Southern Hemisphere, etc. Well, there's a lot to talk about. Rabba gives a different answer. Again, we're still trying to figure out how to reconcile that in our Mishnah of Yehuda says that you stop saying the same Talamotar Musa for the first day of Pesach, but in the next Mishnah he says that we're shoyelin until the end of Pesach. So now Rabba gives a different answer. My ad sheyavra Pesach. What does he mean? Until Pesach passes means ad sheyavra zman shchitat Pesach. Until the time when the time of bringing the Korban Pesach of shechtan the Korban Pesach is over. So in other words, Rashi says that means an chatzos of Erev Pesach. So in other words, that it would mean that shachlis of Erev Pesach was still saying mashav ruach amar d'geshem and the same talamotar mincha already. Even though mincha was still saying a weekday Shemini Esrei, still you wouldn't say the same talamotar anymore. So Yom Tov. So as far as mashav ruach amar d'geshem, that we would say for one day longer until Musaf, the first day Pesach. But according to Rabba's understanding, the last time you would say the same talamotar in Birkas Hashanim would be shachris of Erev Pesach. Rabbeinu Gershom learns it differently. He says it means until the time of Shchitas HaPesach is over, meaning the entire Erev Pesach. So according to him, Rabbi Yehuda would be saying that the entire Erev Pesach, including Mincha, you still say the same talamotar. Comes shachris of, on Yom Tov, you don't have weekday davening, so the next time you have a weekday davening, namely on Chol HaMoed, you're already going to be saying the same bracha. Well, and then at night, where the night going into Chol HaMoed, the night after the first days of Yom Tov. And he continues, "V'chitchilase kein sofer." And the point would be that the just like it is at the beginning, when do you start saying Merud Atol, and when do you start saying the same bracha, the end is going to be the same way. "Matchilase masker afishen shoyel." At the beginning, at the end of Sukkot, we have a period of time when you're saying Mashav Ruach and not yet saying the same Talamotar. According to Rashi, only on the one day of Shmini Atzeres. According to everybody else, from after Shmini Atzeres until Zayin Cheshvan, or until 60 days from the Tekufa, as the case may be. So the same way at the end, you can have where you have tefillas, where you have according to Rashi, you have the tefillah of mincha of Erev Pesach, where you're mentioning, you're still saying Mashiv Rocha Moed Geshem, but you're not saying the same Talamotu anymore. You're saying the same bracha. So that would be what it means. Amalei Abaya, but Abaya says still that doesn't work. V'shleimet chilosei mazgir. I can understand why at the beginning, when you start saying Mashiv Rocha Moed Geshem in the same Talamotu at the end of Sukkot or after Sukkot, fine. There's a logic. Because you're mentioning the same Mashiv Ruach Moed Geshem without yet saying the same Talamotar, because Haskora Nami Ritzui, because what are you doing? It's a necessity. Haskora Nami Ritzui She'elohi, because the purpose of the Haskora is to appease Hashem to as a preface to the She'ela. In other words, you don't just want to jump in right away and say, we're asking Hashem for rain. We want to first acknowledge that Hashem is the one who brings the rain. So it makes sense to have a certain period of time when you're doing the ritzu, you're doing the appeasement of Hashem, you're telling Hashem how great you are that you bring the rain before you actually start asking for it. I'll do that like in Shemana Esrei itself. You first start talking about the greatness of Hashem before you start with Atachon and Hashivenu and the rest of your needs. Ela Soifei, my ritzu she'eleka. But what's the logic that at the end was saying there should be a time when you're still saying Mashiv Ruach Hamoed Geshem, which is the Haskara, without saying any more of the same Talamata, which is the She'ela? What's the logic? What's the point of it then? You're not doing it as a preface to the She'ela anymore because you're about to stop the She'ela. So there's no logic to say that you should be saying Mashiv Ruach Moed Geshem when you're not saying the same Talamata anymore. At the beginning, it's different, but not at the end. So again, Ela Machavar Tekidu Ula. So again, it's clear that the answer has to be like Ula, that there are two different opinions within what Rabbi Huda says. Who is the halacha like? Amar Rav Asi, Amar Rav Yechon, halacha could be Huda. So the halacha is like Rabbi Huda of our Mishnah that you start saying Mashiv Ruach Moed Geshem in Mustaf of Shemini Atzeres. Amar Rav Zeira, Rav Asi, Umi Amar Rav Yechon, Hachi. Did Rav Yechon in fact say that? V'hatnan, we learn in the next Mishnah, or not the next Mishnah, but the Mishnah after that, later on, v'shloshev v'cheshven sholenes ha'gshamim, we start asking for rain on the third of Cheshvan. Rav Gamliel, I remember Shiva boy, Rav Gamliel says you start asking for rain, namely saying the same Talamater on the seventh of Cheshvan. But Amar Rav Elazar, halacha could Rav Gamliel. And Rav Elazar says halacha is like Rav Gamliel. Now the Gemara would like to assume that what Rav Elazar is saying is something that Rav Yechonon would agree to. Because Rav Elazar was a Talmud Muvhak of Rav Yechonon, and we find in other places in Shas where we take it almost as a given that almost anything Rav Elazar says is also the opinion of Rav Yechonon and his Rebbe. Ad kedekach, you have a story in a couple of places in Shas where Rav Elazar one time said a halacha not in the name of Rav Yechonon, and Rav Yechonon was very upset about it. You're taking away the schus from me. I'm not going to have sifsois of dovus bekever. And one of the other chacham, I think Rabbi Yaakov Ba'idi, goes and explains to Rabbi Yechonon, given that everybody knows that everything, almost everything Rabbi Elazar learned is from you, then he doesn't always have to say it over in your name, just like Yeshua didn't always have to say everything over in Moshe Rabbeinu's names, because who else would he have learned from? So therefore, the Gemara would like to assume that Rabbi Elazar agrees with Rabbi Yechonon, but the answer is not necessarily. Omalei, so Rabbi Asi says, so what? Gavra Karamis, how you bring a contradiction from one to the other. Rabbi Yechonon can have his opinion. Rabbi Elazar can have his opinion. Okay, it happens. Again, another answer. Loikasha kan lisho kan lahazkir. Again, there can be a difference between she'ela and hazkara. We can say hazkara mashiv ruach moed geshem begins like Rabbi Yehuda in our Mishnah says on Shmini Atzeres. She'ela, which is the same Talamata, begins only later, like Rav Gamliel says on the seventh of Cheshvan. So the question is, didn't Rav Yechonon say that at the same time where you shoyel, where you say the same Talamata, is also when Mazkir, when you say Mashiv Ruach Moed Geshem? And the answer is that he laughs sake. That's talking about when you end saying them at the same time, like we were saying a few lines before, that you end both of them at the beginning of Pesach. You stop saying the same Talamater, the last tefillah you say it by is Mincha of Erev Pesach, and then the next day, so the next day is Yom Tov. You're not davening a weekday davening, so therefore you start saying Moed Atol. You stop saying Mashiv Ruach Moed Geshem, and the first opportunity after that you have, you start saying the same bracha. So that's as far as that, not as far as the beginning. So the question is, well, Amar Rav Yechonon hischa lahazkir maschil lishol posik milishol posik malahazkir. What do you mean? Rav Yechonon clearly says that they both go together. They both go in tandem. when you start mentioning Masha Baruch Moda Geshem is also when you start saying the same Talamot of the Baracha at the earliest possible opportunity, Posek Milisho. And when you stop asking the same Talamot, Posek Milahazku, at that same time, you stop saying Masha Baruch Moda Geshem. So how can we say that? So how can we say that there's a difference between Lishol and Mahazku? Ela loikasha holon holahu. Rather, we can answer that what Rabbi Yochanan is saying is there's a difference between us in Bavel and them in Eretz Yisrael. We in Bavel, Rashi describes, we keep our produce out in the field to dry throughout Sukkos. So therefore, we don't even want to mention rain until Shemini Atzeres, because we don't want our produce that's drying out in the field to get wet from the rain. So that's where Rabbi Yochanan is saying that we wait until the seventh of Cheshvan. Whereas in Eretz Yisrael, they do their harvest in Nisan, they gather it in during Tishrei, so then they can already start on Shemini Atzeres, and that's what Rabbi Yochanan meant when he said the halacha. That's what Rabbi Yochanan meant when he said the halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda. So the difference between different places. Tosfos seems to explain differently, but there's actually a few different gersos in Tosfos. Does Tosfos say the same thing, that they wait until after the seventh of Cheshvan, or there's a different gersa that Hagros Habach says over here that does it mean that Bnei Bavel start before the seventh of Cheshvan, or does it mean that they only start on the seventh of Cheshvan? Different gersos in Tosfos. Anyway, so that's one answer. So the Gemara says, Maishnol v'didan v'islan peda v'dabra. In that case, then we have to ask, so what's the difference? You're saying we have produce that's still drying in the field. We don't want it to get ruined. Therefore, we don't want to start saying Masha Baruch Moda Geshem or the same Talamotar right away, Shemini Atzeres. L'didhu nami islu oiler regolim. Don't they have the oiler regol? And again, like we have to wait till Zion Cheshvin, because otherwise, think about it. We have to wait. We have to wait till Zion Cheshvin. The answer is, because Rabbi Yechon is talking about when there's no Beis Mikdash, therefore there's no Oyler Regalim. So the Gemara said, Hashta de Osis Lahachi. Well, now that you came to that answer, then we don't have to say that Rabbi Yechon is distinguishing between Bnei Eretz Yisrael and Bnei Babel. You could say, Kan Bisman Shein Beis Mikdash Kayim. You could say, Hova Hola Didhu. Both of Rabbi Yechon's statements are talking about for the people of Eretz Yisrael. Well, like Kasha, Kan Bisman Shein Beis Mikdash Kayim, Kan Bisman Shein Beis Mikdash Kayim. Okay, so the Gemara asks, "Va'anan be'islan trei yomi, we who have 2 days of Yantav, hechi avdinan, what do we do as far as starting Masha Baruch Moda Geshem? Since we have to start it on Shemini Atzeres, but we have 2 days of Shemini Atzeres and Simchas Torah. So what do we do? Amar Rav, maskul musafin. What you do is you start saying Masha Baruch Moda Geshem in Musaf of Shemini Atzeres, but it's a suffix whether it's also the seventh day of Sukkot. Therefore, uposik mincha arvus v'shachris. You don't say Masha Baruch Moda Geshem in Ma'ariv and Shachris and Mincha of Shemini Atzeres in Mincha of Shemini Atzeres and Ma'ariv and Shachris of Simchas Torah, because up until then you don't know for sure that it's Musaf of Shemini Atzeres. V'chozer b'musafan, and then by Musaf of Simchas Torah you stay Masha Baruch Moda Geshem again. But Shmuel said to the Talmidim of Rav, "Puku v'imru leila Abba, go out and tell Abba that can't be right. After you're making it kodesh, you're saying that it is Shemini Atzeres. You're going to the rest of the day treat it as choil, as though we're saying it's really only the seventh day of Sukkot. Not logical. Ella, Amar Shmuel, maskul v'sofen v'mincha. Rather, Shmuel says you say Masha Baruch Moda Geshem in Musaf of Shemini Atzeres. You also say it in Mincha because you don't want to treat that day again as choil." Uposik Arvus v'Shachris, Ma'ariv of Simchas Torah, and Shachris of Simchas Torah, you go back to saying Moed Atol, because now it might be Shemini Atzeres, and now it's not Musaf yet, which is the time to do it. V'Chozer Maskul Musafin, and then by Musaf of Simchas Torah, then you start saying Masha Baruch Moed Geshem again. Rava Omar, Rava says no. Kivin Shehischil Shuveni Posik. Once you started Shemini Atzeres, you don't stop. And you continue, even though, yes, Shemini Atzeres is only suffix Shvi, nevertheless, once you started, you don't stop, which is, of course, what we do. V'cheinan Rav Sheshes, Kirin Jeschol Shubenei Posek, Rav Sheshes says the same thing. And the Gemara says, V'af Rav Hodebei, in fact, Rav himself ended up changing his mind. D'omer Rav Chanano, Omer Rav, Moine Esrim V'Echad Yoim, From Rosh Hashanah, you count 21 days. Kederach Shemona Asara Yamim Rosh Hashanah Ad Yom Kippurim. The same way as you count 10 days from Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. Umaskil. And then after those 21 days, you start saying Mashiv Ruach Moedah Geshem. Rekiven Shehischol Shorene Poisek. And once you begin, you don't end. What do we mean? What's the comparison of with the 10 days to Rosh, from Rosh Hashanah to Yom Kippur? So Rashi gives two explanations. One, we know that we have 2 days of Rosh Hashanah. One way of understanding it is, in other words, that what he's saying, you count 21 days, like you count for the 10 days from Rosh Hashanah to Yom Kippur. What day do you start counting from? We start counting from the first day of Rosh Hashanah. We say the first day of Rosh Hashanah is Aleph Tishrei. The second is Beis Tishrei. Because after all, we're not keeping 2 days of Rosh Hashanah because of a suffix. We're keeping it because Minig Abisenu Biyadenu. So therefore, instead of considering it the 30th of Elul on the first of Tishrei, we consider it the first and the second of Tishrei. So when do we start counting from Yom Kippur? From Aleph. The same way now, we count from Aleph through Chaf Aleph, that's 21 days. And the next day, Chaf Beis is Shmini Atzeres, and that's when we start saying. Rashi's second explanation is similar, but that the point is, in other words, that we know. Let's say there was a 30-day Elul. The fact is, when are you counting from? In that case, you would be counting from the second day of Rosh Hashanah, because then it would be 30th of Elul on the first of Tishrei. So when we mention Yom Kippur, the point is Yom Kippur is only 1 day. Even in Chutzlar, as we learned in Masechta Rosh Hashanah, that you keep Yom Kippur only 1 day because it would be dangerous to fast 2 days. So you know what day Yom Kippur was. So the same way as you know that Yom Kippur is the 10th day counting from a certain day, namely in that case, it would actually be from the second day of Rosh Hashanah, the same way the 21 days that you count, where you're still saying in the new year, where you're still saying Merid Atol, counts from that second, in that case, that second day of Rosh Hashanah, up to and including Hashanah Rabbah, and then on Shemini Atzeres, you start saying Mashiv Ruach Moedah Geshem. The Hilchasa, and that's the bottom line. Aloha, Kivin Chase, Hoshuvena Poisek. Once you start saying an Ashmini Atzeres, you don't stop. So none of this business that Rav and Shmuel were saying, that part of Shmini Atzeres and part of Simchas Torah, you would say, you would go back and forth. You say Tfilas Geshem on Shmini Atzeres. You start saying the same Talamata. You start saying Mather Mashal Ruch Moedah Geshem, and you continue throughout the rest of the year, throughout the half year until Pesach. Okay, everyone.